Not All Americans Went West. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, we pay tribute to the historian David McCullough. He discovered that hundreds of people who would number among America's most important inventors and scientists and thinkers and artists went out of their way to travel east to France in the 19th century. That's where they would develop skills and an outlook on life that would help make a better life back home for all Americans. Let's start the hour looking at what made America great back in the 20th century as it joined forces with our allies to help defeat the Nazi tyranny of the Second World War. We all want to be remembered. It's just human nature. In his travels and research into the stories of the servicemen and women of World War II, Robert Edsel noticed that something was missing. Beyond the courage of the Allied troops who helped to liberate Europe from Nazi tyranny, we rarely hear about the emotional war fought back home by their families. And with the distance of the years and with the political discourse going on in our country today, it never hurts to take a fresh look at the price that was paid for our freedom. Today, the man who helped tell the stories of the Monuments Men and Women and established a foundation in their honor has another story to tell. It takes place in a small town in the far south of the Netherlands. More than 80 years later, the Dutch continue to show their gratitude for their liberators and in their promise to care for their gravesites forever. Robert has learned the stories of 12 servicemen and locals in a village near Maastricht. And he's here to tell us about them, which he profiles in his new book. It's called Remember Us. Robert, it's good to be with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.
You know, first of all, we've been inspired by your visits with us over the years to talk about Monuments Men. That was, of course, the historic effort during and after World War II to save and ultimately return the art that Nazis plundered from the places they conquered. What's new on that front?
The Monuments Men and Women Foundation, which we created to honor these men and women, has continued to do amazing things. The passage of a Congressional Gold Medal bill to award them our nation's highest civilian honor in 2014 and the awarding in 2015, convincing the United States Army to reconstitute monuments officers, a great achievement of the foundation, which took place 4 years ago. And today, after 80 years, we have monuments officers again. And of course, we continue to locate and return missing works of art. And 2 years ago, we dedicated a permanent exhibition, the first of its kind, in Monuments Men and Women Gallery at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, where all these artifacts and the records of the Monuments Men and Women now reside.
And now you're sharing with us another dimension of World War II that is often overlooked. What inspired you to be so passionate about telling the story of 12 World War II servicemen buried in the Netherlands?
I wanted to tell their story because we need to know who some of these men and women are, and because women are very involved in this, to appreciate the cost of freedom and underscoring the fact that freedom is not free. And if you don't understand who some of the men and women are that are buried at the Netherlands American Cemetery in Margraten, this small town just 10 miles from the German border, where World War II in Western Europe started, by the way, in May 1940 when the German tanks rolled across the border, You can't appreciate this high watermark of humanity and grace that the Dutch would make a forever promise to watch over and care for the graves of the 10,000 American men and women that are buried there today.
What does that mean when they promised to take care of them?
The Dutch were so grateful to the American liberators to free them from 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days of German occupation. And they knew a lot of these American boys because they were stuck in this area. General Simpson's army was stationed in Maastricht, Margraten area from late October until March or so when the spring offensive began. And these boys from agrarian societies in the United States were familiar with this kind of countryside filled with orchards and beautiful tilled lands. And they got to know the people there and they loved them. And when so many of the American boys didn't come back at the end of the war, even before the war was over, the Dutch were trying to figure out the answer to the question, how do you honor your liberators and thank them for freeing you when they're no longer alive to thank? So they came up with this idea of creating a grave adoption program where the locals would go out there on New Year's, Christmas, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and the birth and death date of the soldier to place flowers. And if they had the name and address of next of kin, they would take a photograph of the grave and send it to the American family. Oh. And in September 1945, when the mail service resumed, hundreds of letters started arriving from families in the United States, and the grave adoption founders realized, you know, it's really a noble thing that we're adopting the graves of these dead soldiers, but where the real need is for us to reach across the ocean into the homes to try and assuage the grief of these families. The American Army and government wouldn't make available that information. And so one of the two key characters of the book, both women, a woman named Emily Michels Van Kestnik, who was the mother of 12 children. She flew to the United States on the first plane she'd ever flown on. She landed at LaGuardia Field in June 1946, and she traveled to various places in the United States to meet with families, and to all of them she said, "Leave your boys with us. We will watch over them like our own forever." And they have done that.
You know, that is so touching. And what is remarkable to me is it endures the passing of generations. It's easy for one generation that survived the war and witnessed the war to make that promise. But now you're, in some cases, probably a couple generations later. How has that promise weathered the distance caused by the lack of living memory?
I think the Dutch have been very determined to try and keep that from happening. So they continue to take their children and grandchildren to the cemetery. They are placing flags and trying to understand more about who the men and women are that are buried there. In so many ways, the Dutch have really become more American, I think, in some extent than we are, making sure that they take care and honor this promise, and they've continued to do it. And that's why we've created the Monuments Men and Women Foundation, working with the Dutch Foundation for Adopting Graves, a joint project that we're calling the Forever Promise Project, one that we would like to help the people of the Netherlands complete by locating the names of the missing family members. And that's something that we've brought to fore in the Remember Us book, is a whole page that describes what this Remember Us Forever Promise Project's all about.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Robert Edsall, and he's reminding us of the cost of freedom, a cost that knows no national borders. And he's also reminding us how we can honor the sacrifices of the thousands who paid the ultimate price. Previously, Robert brought us the stories of the Monuments Men and the efforts to save and reclaim the art masterpieces of Europe from Nazi plunder, and that was in his book Rescuing Da Vinci. In his latest book, Remember Us, Robert profiles the lives of American servicemen who fought the Nazi invasion during the Second World War. And in that book, he also profiles the local people who worked with those soldiers in the Dutch province of South Limburg. There's more about Robert's work at his website, and his website is simply robertedsall.com, E-D-S-E-L, robertedsall.com. Robert, tell us a little more about the American Servicemen Cemetery. I understand it was built over a muddy hellhole of a battle site, and now it's just a calm and beautiful, inspiring war memorial.
It really is. You know, each of our overseas cemeteries, and we have 12 of them that are World War II cemeteries around the world, they are each unique and beautiful in their own way. Normandy, of course, sitting there on the cliff overlooking the beaches where the boys landed. And Margraten stands unique among them with this grave adoption program, something that was organic. It unfolded not because someone had the idea for a program, but because the local people there watched over the soldiers that they knew. They walked miles. They didn't have any vehicles. They walked, they rode their bikes, some went by horse to go out there and put flowers over the graves of the boys that they knew and honor them. And it's a beautiful area. It's defined by orchards and tilled lands. You know, I've made a point of reminding Americans, we're a country of immigrants. We were, we are, we always will be. And we have in the book the soldiers that I follow, Native American, a Black American tanker, a Black American who was charged with digging the graves, a horrific, horrific job. We have a German Jew who immigrated to the United States and then volunteered for service to be an intelligence officer. And then, of course, other Americans that are combat veterans. We really have a composition that reflects the country we were and are, and it reminds us that we pull together as Americans to defeat the greatest threat to civilization ever.
You know, you are such an effective historian when you bring to light intimate stories of real people. And this is kind of what this book is all about, highlighting 12 people out of 8 or 10,000 that were buried there. Tell us just one or two stories in the book that help you make the point you want to make?
A Native American, part of the Lakota in South Dakota, that has been relocated three times in the previous 40 years, in Wounded Knee in 1890, once again when the Army wanted to use it as a gunnery, and then even 2 years before he volunteered for service, and his mother pleaded with him, Jacob Herman, don't do this. America's only done things to us. They've never done anything for us. But the Native American attitude was, when the country's attacked, when the land's attacked, then we rise to the occasion to defend that land. And Jacob Herman was very proud. He became a member of the 82nd Airborne. You take someone like Robert Cole, who's born on the base at Fort Sam Houston. His father was an officer, and he had actually trained with Lieutenant Colonel Dwight Eisenhower earlier in his career, and then joins the 101st Airborne, and he's there seen again in the book on June 5th on the tarmac in England, visiting with General Eisenhower hours before he will drop out of an airplane over Normandy, a remarkably heroic man. He received the Medal of Honor for his heroism. So we really take you not only inside who these people are and what they did during the war, but we then follow them into the homes of their loved ones, the widows, the mothers, the sisters, and the fathers, trying to figure out how to survive the anxiety of not knowing, and for some, of course, grieving with no one to speak to, no information. And that's why this mission of mercy of the Maastricht mayor's wife, Emily Michels van Kesnik, she had one message, and that was, leave your boys with us. We'll watch over them like our own forever. And they've done so.
We'll remember what historian David McCullough had to tell us about the important role France has played over the years in the lives of many influential Americans. That's in just a bit. But first, there's more with Robert Edsel as we get to know how the Dutch people of South Limburg have been keeping their promise. They won't forget the sacrifices American troops made in liberating them from the Nazis in 1944. And now, neither will we. You're listening to Travel with Rick Steves.